Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband, Automatically Deleted again. I did send a postcard today to the family, so it should arrive, and my guess, you know, I don't know what's happening to them, because obviously I've sent a lot to the Seven Oaks address, and I assume that it's likely that they're intercepted, but I don't know, you know, because obviously... you know, what would it be like to, you know, for my wife to deny my kids the stuff that their dad sends, or verbally in a way to indicate that this is something you don't have to worry about, or you can ignore. But see, my concern is we're building up a huge library of stuff. That what will be like for Walter and Zadok as an adult to find out all this stuff? I ponder that often, because what will that make them think about my wife, about Jim Cross and others, and you know, institutional church and other things of that nature? But because, you know, it really does concern me, and there's you know, three things that can be done. One, the most rational is to say, okay, let's stop this. Let's stop this by actively pursuing reconciliation. That would be the most rational thing. That would be the most loving thing. The second thing is you'll have to do what you can to silence me, to make sure that this doesn't get found. And considering the number of people who are getting DVDs, postcards, and other things, that's going to be growing more difficult to do. You know, so you're going to end up with perhaps you have to then mold our kids to think, no, somehow the dad was bad and we were protected from him. Or they're going to find out that the dad was trying to love his wife, love his family, his kids, and pursue reconciliation all this time as a flawed man striving to be obedient to Christ, and maybe try to set the best model in front of them, and they're denied this. What will they think? I really wonder, what will they think? And then, of course, anyway, it doesn't have to be that way. The best option, and again, I'm looking for reconciliation without retribution. I'm not trying to get revenge. You know, I mentioned yesterday I was invited to a dinner, and it was a little weird on many fronts, because you know, one being the oldest guy there, and all the others were grandfathers, but you know, I mean, it's kind of like, gee, that's strange. But I was also the one with the youngest child, you know, Zadok only being 9, but that's, you know, kind of odd because I haven't seen him in 9 years. But the important thing is also what I saw in that dialogue, as I thought about it today, is I saw Proverbs 19:84 in front of me. Because what I saw, especially in one gentleman, to a reasonable degree in another, and to a lesser degree in the third, much lesser degree, is the trust in the state, which obviously my wife and Jim Cross have demonstrated themselves, and, you know, Chris Bitterman and so forth. But that I'm thinking about that. And so during a dialogue today, again, wrestled with my friend Chris on what is appropriate. What is obedience to Christ because what seems to be, because you know, I continue to study. I started this morning, and I'm back at Genesis 1, going there a lot lately. You know, and specifically verse 27 and 28, because the weight of those two verses is phenomenal. Okay, I didn't want to get long, but I'm going to read those verses. I'm going to read it from the LSV. And God creates the man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, a male and a female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that is creeping on the earth. There is so much weight in this, you know, because in the image of God, he created him. So obviously, this is where we get the man is created in the image of God, because, you know, it says that. And of course, the verse before is the let us make man in our image, which is consistent with, it doesn't say Trinity per se, but it's consistent with the Trinitarian idea. Because, you know, our is obviously multiple. Won't go with that. But then we have the first command to man, be fruitful and multiply. But then we have the only time, and what I verified this morning, it is to fill the earth and subdue it, then to rule over the fish of the sea. To subdue it and rule over. It's both the idea of being the hegemon and the archy. Both words are used. So as I've continued to research this, the only time I see in Scripture where man is given the authority to be the archy, to rule, to be the hegemon, is here. There's no other place. And in that, the rulership is over the animal kingdom. It is not over another man. And that is vital. That, I think, is extremely vital. And, you know, again, the argument that was made yesterday is you know, Paul says, we're to submit and so forth. Yes, we are to submit. We are to submit to those who are placed over us, but we're not to place people over us. That is a vital point. The comment yesterday was, that's splitting hairs. No, that's not. That is vital to understand that. We are called to submit. And the reason we have people ruling over us is because our lack of trust in God, which is seen in 1 Samuel 8. And we place somebody in rulership over us who isn't qualified to rule, the Deuteronomy 17, which is the archy. You know, we read king in I'm going to get extremely long here. When we read it in the Hebrew, let's see what word it is. You may set a king. it is the Melech, because the important thing about Melech is Melech is the or Molech is you know the pagan god, and there's a similarity, and you'll see there's kind of a play back and forth in the Old Testament where that's talked about, because of the idea when you sacrifice your children to Molech, in some cases it is to Melech or to the state. To the king, to the ruling parties, to the state, and which is exactly what's happening. Anyway, I continue to study this. I hammered with Chris at this because I want to know where I'm wrong. But as far as I see, the Lord calls us to trust Him, not the state. To trust Him, not the state. And the argument made yesterday about, well, you got bad people in, so we got to make sure we get the better people in. No. There's no, that's a call to pragmatism. Well, that's Jim Cross again. When the Lord says you cannot serve God and money, Jim Cross says you got to be practical about this. I'm not pragmatic. I trust the Lord. And saying I'm going to compromise, the word is dilos, cowardice. And I don't want to go there. I've been there. I repent. I was wrong. I want to trust the Lord in all things. I want to encourage my kids to do the same. Because either the Lord is who he claims he is, the Bible is true, Jesus Christ is the creator who ended his creation, either that stuff is true or it's fictitious, completely bogus. Go with atheism, go with Hinduism, go with Islam, pick what you want, nothing matters. But if it's true, and I claim it is, and I back it up with reasoned evidence, if it's true, you can't compromise, because he calls the compromiser a coward and toast. Trust him. I want to instill into my family, my kids, trust the Lord. That's the Proverbs 1984. Trust in the state with all your heart. That's what you see in front of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is the Lord's command. It is my hope and prayer. At least some of my kids will live it, and especially my wife, because irrespective of the 9 years of less than ideal circumstances, my lady, I love you.